Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Jurkovic, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Yes, it is. Steve Arterburn here with two fabulous, fun-filled, wise women. It's Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
The women are in.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
Are.
I hope you will be today. And I'm sure you will. I'm sure.
Well, you mean we're here, but you're not sure if we're in or not?
Who knows? You know what? We already have a full line of calls all lined up. And
we
so
do.
I got to go right to the phones. I'm going to try to get as many calls as I can.
Let's do it.
And so here we go. Let's go right into Jackie, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, WBYN. Hi, Jackie. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate that.
You bet. How can we help?
I have an issue with my 22-year-old daughter, and I just want some help in knowing how to get her back to her faith in Christ and back to church. She was sexually abused when she was 14 years old at the Christian school that she went to by her Bible teacher and her coach. And I didn't find out about this until 3 years later when she was 17, when I had detectives show up at my house, and tell me that she was being sexually abused. And, she has graduated college and, done well academically, but spiritually she's just floundering.
Well, it makes sense.
Has refused to go to church, doesn't read her Bible, says all Christians are hypocrites, and, grew up in my family, which is Christian. My whole family is Christian. And so I just don't know how to help her. Every time I try to bring anything up with it, she just shuts down on me. And it's been almost six years, and I just don't know.
What are you trying to bring up? What are you trying to bring up with it?
Not bring up, but just like occasionally I'll just ask her how she's doing or, you know, about going to church with me, and she'd be like, I don't want to do that. All Christians are hypocrites. And 2 weeks ago, we had a family reunion where one of my uncles had been at my mom's place back where this man was. He came to my mom's sale of her house, and he met this man that did this to my daughter, which we didn't know at the time that he was doing this. And so 2 weeks ago when we were at this reunion, my uncle brought this up and said, oh, yeah, you know, I met that wonderful, nice man, you know, and her face just shut down.
Okay, so here's what I want to suggest to you. You want to help your daughter?
I do.
Okay. Apologize for asking her to go to church with you.
Okay.
Start there. Honey, I am so sorry that I have been asking you to come go to church with me. I don't know what got into me. I don't know. Maybe I was hoping that this would go away. Maybe I was hoping it wasn't so bad, but oh my goodness. If I were you, I wouldn't want to go to church either. And start connecting with where she is versus where you want her to be.
Okay.
See, because of course church is good. Of course
right.
We want her.
But be
look,
Jesus and, to her.
And I was going to suggest that before I heard about this horrific, horrific interaction around the man that did this. No one ever report him?
Yeah, he was reported, and he's on probation for 5 years, and got a criminal record from it. Mm-hmm. He was also the administrator of the school as well. Mm-hmm. It was a small Christian school, and so
we'll talk after this. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Oh my goodness. Here's the question. How did this uncle come up with that this guy was a wonderful man?
Yeah.
If he had a criminal record, he was on probation.
Does no one know?
He didn't know any of that. And 6 years ago when he met him, none of us knew this. And
well,
so he met him and just said he was a wonderful man. And 6 years later, I don't have a lot of connection with that part of my family, and so he wasn't aware of any of this. And I went up to him later. Himself with me, and I said to him, you know, and he just broke down in tears. He said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "I did not realize."
Oh, okay.
He didn't mean to cause problems.
Did you tell her that?
What, that I talked with him?
Or that he didn't know and that he felt horrible?
No, I didn't talk to her about that. I said, every time I bring up anything to do with any of that, she just shuts down and walks away from me. And I know she's not healed. She had 6 months of counseling right after it happened, but once she turned 18, she didn't want to do that anymore.
So let's hear what Alice and Jill think is the best. I've given you a way to try to connect with where she is by backing away from church attendance and trying to connect with her that way. But Jill, Alice, what do you guys think? What's something she could do that could help?
I was kind of saying, as Steve, as you were saying that, it's Jackie, it's kind of like you be Jesus to her. You just be with her where she's at instead of preaching at her or, you know, causing her to feel like somehow, you know, because she isn't doing these things, going to church, that, you know, she's not acceptable. Because that's
I try not to.
Right. But even I'm imagining not only you have this situation, but it's also a mother-daughter situation. And, you know, you have to just be aware that daughters can be extra sensitive to their mother's words. And so we'll read more into what you're saying. You may not be the one that is going to be all of the help for her. This is something that she isn't quite ready to deal with, and that's the hard part, is that it may have to come to a point to where she decides she needs to deal with this more. And so you love her where she's at, and, you know, then there at times you can gently say things, you know, "Sweetheart, when you're ready, you know, there's more help out there." But, you know, that's your decision. Okay. Everything is her decision, because when you are, you know, molested, it's not your decision. And so now she needs to feel in control of her own life and her decisions. I'm here for you. I fully support you. You know what you're needing right now. And when you're needing something different or when you sense that, let me know and I'll be there.
And in addition to what Jill's saying, there's a very humble question that you can ask that, again, gives power to your daughter, which is, you know, "I've been thinking about this, and as Steve was saying, I don't know that I've been approaching this in the best way. And I want you to tell me, what have I done that's been hurtful or not helpful to you in this situation? And what would you want me to do differently? But it will be very important that if you listen to her, that you don't justify what you've been doing and why, even though you've had good reasons and you've done the best that you could. But this would be a chance for her to be able to give you feedback about what has not been helpful in your approach. Would you do that for her?
Okay. Yeah, well, she's actually just moved away to go to grad school. She's about 12 hours away from me. And so I had was thinking maybe I should just write her a letter and just kind of
wonderful idea.
Yeah, that'd be
kind of to her. I don't know if that's something good to do on letter form or better in person.
Better. Yeah. I think it's better in the way you describe the situation through a letter, because then she doesn't have to react to you, you know, respond. She can truly think about it. What you've written there.
Right.
Because obviously, whatever you say to her, she resists it at this point. But, you know, it's just, it's one of these things where you're going above and beyond to try to connect with her. And I think so often when Jesus was on the earth, he did the exact opposite of what people thought he ought to do. And in fact, I'm imagining all these people that are listening. Some are thinking, "Gosh, that's horrible. He told him not to tell her to go to church." Well, you're not listening totally. But sometimes we have to do the unexpected if we want to really follow what Christ would have us do. And I'm going to send you Forgiving the Unforgivable. And that might be something at the right time you could send to her and help her get through this. It is an amazing, amazing book by Dave Stoop. Really does help a lot of people. So let me send that to you. Anybody else, you can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's also the place where you could say, I want to help you in August. I know it's been tough, and it has. And for a gift of $50 or more, I'll send you 5 different publications on fear and narcissism. These are the truth about these things. Great hope, great insight. The truth about forgiveness and grief and anger, and the ceramic mug that we did with my mom's great sayings on it. Right now, let's talk with Tony from Wildwood, Florida. WTLN is the station. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. How could we help you today?
Me?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
We can. How can we help?
I just want to say that I listen to you folks pretty much every day for the last 5 years, and you have a wonderful ministry, and I continue blessings on you.
Thank you, my friend.
And I also just want to say that I really enjoy Jill's laugh. There's something special about it.
Me too.
It's so authentic.
Thanks. Thanks, Tony.
And you know what?
You're welcome.
Tony, here's what's great. A lot of people are not able to laugh on radio. They can't do it. And I'm with 2 people right now who actually can do that. I can't, but they can. And it really is a gift. And I appreciate you bringing that
up.
Jill
Tony,
does a great
sweet.
Job.
Yeah,
so
it's
thank
very
you.
Uplifting.
Now that you've tried to get her to be easy on you, how could we help you
buttered
here?
Buttered her up.
Yeah, how could we help?
Well, I have 2 adult daughters, but I want to talk about my younger one, who's 33. She lives in another state, our home state. And she's had to deal with alcohol addiction for about the last 15 years. She also deals with depression and anxiety and panic attacks. And she's been through numerous rehab and recovery programs. She's been through halfway houses and three-quarter houses. She's been in counseling. She's seeing a psychiatrist for medication. And it seems like when she's in program, and she's also works through AA regularly.
Good.
And she works the program for a while, okay, but then it breaks down and she relapses. And I'm calling you now because this just happened just last night. My other daughter called and told us that she had relapsed again. And we're really not sure. I mean, we've been encouraging and supportive and loving to her over the years. And we're just not sure what else that we can do for her now.
Okay. When she relapses...
Mm-hmm.
Is there any kind of pattern that you've seen to that relapse? Anything that consistently happens?
Absolutely.
Before
what is that? As a parent, you know, even over the phone, you can see patterns developing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, things start to happen. I think life happens and relationships kind of bring her down when things don't quite go her way. She's also a perfectionist. And we saw patterns occurring, for example, just recently, a month ago, she took excess Wellbutrin and ended up having a seizure and had to go into the hospital, for example. Then after that, she opened herself up to starting to see men again. And when she sees men, that's always a little, you know, another sign that something is happening and didn't work out with the guy. And so from that point on, you can see her winding down, you know, spiraling down. And then I think the depression takes over and, you know, I mean, and I think she just, you know, when you start keeping secrets and lying about it, you isolate yourself and it puts a lot of pressure and anxiety on you. And I think she just finally is given up. And that's she starts to drink to medicate the pain.
Right.
Okay. So let's hear from Alice and Jill. And then I want to give you one other thought when they're finished. Okay, guys, what do you think?
Tony, do you find that your support and help of her usually helps to get her back on track? Does she respond to it well?
Sometimes she does. You know, like right now, we're trying to get her into another facility, and she's a little resistant because she's like, well, I've been through it so many times, and I don't see how it's going to make any difference, you know. So, and we also try not to be a little overwhelming with it too, because it is her choice. And unless she's willing to do everything she can, then it's not going to work. So,
and do you support her financially? Do you pay for the treatment?
We've helped her in the past. We support her in other ways. Whenever she's sober and working program, we do support her financially. But she doesn't have hardly any money. She's worked very menial jobs and just over the last year has gotten a decent job with benefits and stuff, and we thought this was hopeful. And also she got her driver's license back because she had a DUI from the past, so she made some progress, and we thought that this might be her turning around, but now this happened again.
And so you help her, but you also withdraw some of the assistance when she is actively using. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, we actually moved from them 1,200 miles away. I had another daughter who's also had dealt with heroin, but she's doing fine right now. And so we had to separate ourselves from them because we felt we were being enablers.
It's heartbreaking.
It has helped. Sorry.
So let me give you a different perspective on this, okay?
Sure.
The relapse isn't happening when she drinks again. The relapse, we talk about this at our groups. The relapse, it's four stages of relapse. And what you're responding to is really the fourth stage. And here's where I would be supporting her. I'd be supporting her when she's doing the things that are healthy. Because relapse stops when you become complacent. So relapse isn't I took a drink. Relapse is I didn't go to the meeting. Relapse is I didn't take the medication that's been prescribed. Or I didn't read my morning devotional from my recovery book or Bible or whatever. So the way this thing changes is that she starts to live consistent with her recovery concepts that she knows so well, and she doesn't deviate from it. She goes to, if she went to two meetings and relapsed last time, now she goes to three or four a week. Because, see, when she stops that's when she gets confused, and then that's when she gets very compromising, like going back to the men and things, and then you see drinking again. So you've got to, I think, get her into treatment, pay for it if you can. Do whatever you can. Get her back in treatment. Doesn't matter how many times she's been. I know people that got well the 33rd time they went.
Yes. Yeah.
But you get her treatment, and when she's there, you say there's only one issue that you guys ought to be dealing with here. It's not whether or not she was breastfed or whether or not she was nursed or anything like that. It's how are you going to continue your recovery program when you get out of here when you don't feel like doing it on any given day. That's the issue. That's the plan. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you're not going to go to the meeting? You're going to go to the meeting anyway. Mm-hmm. How are you going to do that? What do you have to be willing to do? You call us, we'll take you. You call your sponsor, they'll take you. That's where people mess up. Mm-hmm. They don't specifically deal with the issue that's keeping them in this sickness and this addiction. It's how do I do something different when I don't want to do what I know is good for me to do? And see, if she does that long enough and she's working the program long enough, one of these days she's going to realize why that was so hard for her to do. Why she sabotaged her recovery every time by stopping doing the very thing that was working for her. Why'd she do that? She'll come to understand that. But she's got to stay in the recovery process, being consistent.
She's got to keep
those
things. Yeah, she's got to keep that structure instead of living in her feelings.
She knows what to do.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Dallas September 22nd to the 24th.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about seven different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Steve Arterburn here, and I want to help you. We want to help you, but you have to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. People are standing by. Wonderful folks that go to work every day, and all they want to do, they just want to help. So please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let us help you. You know, coming up here, Every Man's Battle in September. Guess who should go? Every man who battles with lust and pornography and things like that that prevent them from ever becoming the man that God has called them to be. Let us help you. Please call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If someone you know is struggling, or maybe you, even you, are struggling. Right now, I want to talk with Carlos from Los Angeles, California. Carlos, how you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Good, thank you.
Hello. How could we help you?
Yeah, so the situation that I have is, my son, I caught him touching my daughter, which he was 12 at the time, and she was 5. And apparently, it had been going on for some time. Well, I brought it to the attention of my fiance, which, that's my daughter's mother, but not his mother. And then within that time, they have recently moved out of state. I'm here in California with my son. And, you know, it's just hard for my fiance to, you know, to forgive or forget. And, you know, I just want to know how I can, you know, how I can reconcile that, the family, and, you know, it's just the division within the family. You know, and I'm hurt too, you know, and just how, learning how to, you know, I was listening yesterday and I heard about the book, Forgiving the Unforgettable, or Forgiving the Unforgivable. So I just want to know what.
Okay. I'll send that to you. But let's boy, got a lot of stuff here going on from this. How long ago did this happen?
He's 14 now. It happened when he was 12, 2 years ago.
Okay. All right, well, let's, Jill, let's start with you.
What have you guys done to get some help?
So far, he is in therapy. He's been doing one-on-one sessions. And now, actually, starting Monday, I'm going in on the session with him.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently rededicated my life to the Lord 2 weeks ago.
Good.
So we've been going to church, and I've seen a change in him, you know, from not even wanting to talk to me, and you know, now he tells me he loves me, mm-hmm. gives me hugs, and, you know, my daughter, she's a kid, she loves him so much, you know, she's so little, and I commanded and affected her, but it seems like it didn't even affect her.
It did, though. You know, it did.
Right. It did. And so So I'm glad that he is in counseling, and it sounds really good that then you're going to be joining him. I would hope that at some point that your fiance would also become a part of that treatment.
That's what I was thinking.
I think there needs
to move that tape. So it's like, you know, she was.
Well, I would fly her in for some sessions, if mm-hmm. possible, uh-huh. because you're connected with her because you have a child with her. So even if the marriage doesn't go forward, you know, for all of your sake, I think there needs to be some healing here. And it's understandable that she would have a hard time with that. You guys weren't even married. You know, she's being a mama bear with her daughter and not wanting her daughter to be in that situation. But, you know, when you seek help and this boy can go through some healing and really understand what was going on with him, and then there's support around it, there can be forgiveness there.
Right.
Yeah, I think this is one of those complicated situations where you want to be sure that she knows you totally understand
right.
why she feels the way she does, right? Totally understand
right.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But you also understand that you can't marry somebody that can't love your son.
Right.
So if there isn't, like Jill's saying, if there isn't some work done here to bring her to a place of acceptance, and only acceptance if it's going to be safe, you see.
Yes.
Well, I think, you know, to help her develop some compassion, like if your son really understands what was going on with him, you know, we all make mistakes. We all act out. I mean, we can act out our feelings. There were things going on with your son where he crossed boundaries. If he can learn and grow from that, I mean, he really has a chance to, you know, get his life on a good path. And I think whether you marry her or not, for your son's sake and for your daughter's sake, having her involved would be important.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to ask you, Carlos, to be patient with her because she'll need to see some signs from your son of change to know that he is safe. And that will include he'll need to admit what he did. He'll need to show empathy for his sister for his stepmother of how it affected them. And then he'll need to show safe behavior over time. So we're delighted he's in counseling, and I would wonder how long, how often does he go? And has he made any attempts to show his younger sister and his stepmother these changes that he's making in his life? Because if I were her, I wouldn't want my daughter exposed even to her own brother if I didn't have enough reason to believe he was safe. And even then, I'd be trepidatious.
Yeah, and that 14-year-old must, I don't care if everything goes perfectly, must never be left alone with his little sister or her daughter, ever, or any child, ever, no matter what, never.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Dallas September 22nd to the 24th.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about tv.newlife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip, and that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever, and of course may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we're definitely back. Steve Arterburn here with 2 very, very wise women, and so glad to get to be with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton and your phone calls. Now, look, we so need your help. Please call us and tell us that you can help us. August is almost over. Things start to happen after August. But if you're listening, this could be so helpful in ways beyond any dollar that you support us with. A gift of any amount, I'll send you some great teaching from Take Your Life Back by Dave and myself. For a gift of 50 or more, I'll send you 5 publications. Try to motivate you to do it. Say thank you. My mom's mug and 5 publications, The Truth About Narcissism, another one on anger, another forgiveness, grief, fear, all of that. It's just our way of saying thanks for helping us when we need it the very most. Please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you possibly can.
Steve,
and it's also the number to get help from. Yes.
Is it true that coffee tastes better from your mom's mug? That's the rumor I've heard.
That is true.
I knew it.
That is so true.
I knew it. She would say
mug.
So too.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
It's a great one. Not one of these cheap tin can kind of situations. It's fantastic. So, yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. And I want to talk to, how about Tanya, Nanticoke, Pennsylvania. Is that pronounced properly? Tanya? Hello?
Hello?
Tanya.
Hello?
How do you pronounce
hello,
your
hello?
Town? Yeah, how do you pronounce
Tanya?
Your town?
Tanya?
Oh.
Tanya?
How do you pronounce your town?
Oh, it's Nanticoke.
Okay, all right. Well, wherever you're from and however you pronounce it, welcome. How could we help you today? How could we help?
Thank you so much. I'm calling because I have a situation. I married my husband 2 years ago, an amazing man. But my husband has a son, and he's a teenager. He's 18 now. And since we got married, I noticed that he was very disrespectful with his father. He was 16 at the time. And I asked my husband why he allows his son to be disrespectful with him. And my husband and I, we have a conversation about it. Then later on, I have a conversation with his son, and I ask him questions like, why you are like that with your father? Do you love your dad? So why you are like that with him? And since then, he got much better at everything in front of me. He stopped yelling at his father. He stopped misbehaving, because there was a point in which I felt like very nervous when he was coming to our home. But I think is being changing little by little, but he is still disrespectful with his father. What
okay,
I
so
don't understand.
Ask us a question. Ask us a question
okay.
about
my
one.
Question is, yeah, my question is like how my husband. Well, what my husband can do to stop this, because he is still disrespectful with him, and it's like my husband doesn't notice when he's being disrespectful with him. I'm
okay.
the one who has to tell him, honey, but why you let him do this? Why you let him do that? So, there
well,
you go.
Well, either your husband is non-confrontational, or perhaps there's some guilt from the divorce situation, mm-hmm. and so he's kind of just tolerated this behavior, which is often the case. And often, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, 16-year-olds in general can get a little mouthy. You know, that's kind of the age. But
so
with,
true. But not an excuse for out
no.
and out
continued
disrespect.
No, it's not. And it is helpful when someone, you know, who isn't necessarily being critical but just shedding light on it does say something like you did. But I think, you know, there may be some resentment or some feelings that this boy has, perhaps, about his parents splitting up, about his father's involvement with him. And I would say your husband's best bet is to really try to connect with him and to even inquire, you know, why maybe the son might be angry with him. But he would have to open himself up to be willing to hear that.
I have told my husband that. I told him, don't you think it's time for you to be honest with him and ask questions like, are you okay? Are you angry? Why you are angry? I mean, asking. He's 18 now, and like my mother used to say, you know, when they are little, you have little problems. When they are big, you have big problems. You
okay,
know,
how about this,
now,
though?
And
hey, hold on. How about this, though? How about he says to his son, you know, I just don't think we spent enough time together. Let's go do something. And if he said, let's go do something, and it was something that the boy would love doing, what would that be? What do you think that would be? What would the boy choose to do?
I really don't know what to tell you, because like my husband is the one that always seeking him. And every time that he's asking him, so how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. I'm with my girlfriend. Oh, I'm racing my bicycle, because he does race bicycle professionally.
So guess
and
what?
I'm doing this.
So guess what? You went back to talking. See, how you doing? Versus, I want to do something with you. Mm-hmm. See, I think that he needs time with his son. He's not going to reverse any of the disrespect unless he spends time with him. That's how you reverse disrespect, is you respect what the other person loves and enter into it with them.
So it's not about talking about the problem. It's about connecting first.
Okay, but how you do that when you have a child that every time that you ask him, what are you doing, and he always busy doing something.
Yeah, because,
like,
you quit asking him.
Yeah, you don't ask that question. That
quit asking. Tell your husband, quit asking him, what are you doing?
Or how you're doing.
Tell him to say, don't ask, say, I want to spend some more time with you. And let's say the boy is so unaccustomed mm-hmm. to spending time with this father, which I assume he is. What if the father uh-huh. just starts showing up
mm-hmm.
and watching him practice riding a bicycle or leaving to ride the bike and being there when he gets back, or watching him race more than he watches him, and starting to invest this amazing resource called time. He invests that in this boy and see if he can win back the boy's heart by investing time in him and what the boy wants.
He always did it. Always. Since we married, we always went to his race, took him to the race.
Good.
And spent time with him.
All right.
And also, we stopped recently after he turned 18 because he drives now. He has a girlfriend and he's mm-hmm. doing it alone. But all this time, he's been doing it with him, taking him to the race and stay there with him. We travel all over U.S. with him. So he always has done it.
Okay, so...
He's not an absent father.
Okay, good. That's really good. So then, when he's doing that mm-hmm. the next time, even though he's 18, he continues to do it. And then at the right moment, he doesn't ask him what he's doing. He asks him, what could I do to win your respect? What do you mean, Dad? Well, I know. I see. There's anger here. There's resentment. There's bitterness. I want to win your respect at this age. What can I do to do that? I suspect he's just angry about all the things that have happened, the divorce, all these things. I just imagine there's just so much unresolved. So maybe things that he's never been able to say to him, and maybe if his dad would make it safe. But let's hear from Alice. What are you thinking as you're hearing this? This is a really tough one.
Anya, I have just two brief thoughts to add. You seem to naturally be able to come to boundaries more comfortably mm-hmm. than your husband does. And I don't know how much he's on board with you that he thinks he needs to improve that. But you have made a lot of headway, so I want to congratulate you on that. And I want to ask you to continue with your use of boundaries as both an example to your husband and as a way to love your stepson well. So, for instance, maybe you do this already, but that when he becomes disrespectful to his father, I think you should let him know in advance, your husband and your stepson, that I need to step out of the room when that starts happening, when voices are raised, when foul language is used. I'm going to step out. I'd love to be with you later when things settle down. But also, since your husband may not know how to do this, I think Boundaries with Teens is a fantastic mm-hmm. book.
Let's get that to you. Yeah,
gives a lot of good examples of how mm-hmm. to put this into action.
Yeah. Well, as tough as it is. As tough as it is, especially for non-confrontational dads, I mean, it's not whether or not a child's going to be disrespectful. It's the response when they are that's so important the first time. And you pull them aside and you don't get angry. You say, look, you know what? That was disrespectful. Mm-hmm. We can't have a relationship over a lifetime if we let that be the direction of our relationship together. More after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And, you know, I think my voice just cracked. I'm going through puberty all over again. Jill, you had a comment here, and then we're going to go to our next caller here, try to get one
I mean, it sounds like that they're doing a lot of things right, and there's just some inherent difficulties in the relationship. But, you know, when someone is non-confrontational, and we were talking about the fact that, again, in divorce situations, there's often guilt that's there, and so it's easier for someone to slip into that more passive role. I would encourage, Tanya, for you to encourage your husband to be a little more of a presence with his son, to not be so afraid, because kids, no matter what age, really need to hit up against some strength. And that doesn't mean to be controlling or overbearing. It just means to have a little more of a voice in the relationship. And while he's been showing up to things, sometimes we show up physically, but emotionally there's a lack of connection. And so I would encourage your husband to show more interest in what the son is doing. And also, you know, one thing, when my kids are disrespectful and I confront them on it, I remind them that, you know, I can get over it. It's really not about me, but it makes them look ugly. And so for their future spouse, it's my duty to let them know. Because they will carry, how they treat me is how they're going to treat the next significant people in their lives.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Okay. I wish we had more time, and I'm going to go to one more. I've got all these calls, and I can only do one more. I am so sorry. Please call us back. We want to help you. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There are people that want to talk to you. But here's Kim, Baltimore, Maryland, WAVA, and so sorry I can't get to these other calls. Kim, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
How could we help you? We don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your phone call.
Okay. Well, my 8.5-year-old daughter has no contact with her father. Hasn't had contact for the past 3.5 years. Out of the blue, he calls and wants to talk to her. And I don't want him to talk to her and make a lot of promises and then disappear for another 3.5. What boundaries do I need to set for him in reference to interacting with her? And also, what can I say to her so she doesn't develop hatred or resentment towards him?
Okay, so Alice and Jill, what should she require of him so that she's protecting this young girl from getting hurt?
Kim, you asked a fantastic question, mm-hmm. and I love that you're thinking ahead about this. So what I want to know to try to answer your question is, what other concerns do you have about his ongoing behavior other than that he'll be here momentarily and he'll disappear again? Do you have concerns about addiction or about other toxic things he might mm-hmm. be doing?
Inappropriateness.
That could affect?
Yep. I suspect something. I really don't know. I can't confirm anything. But there was some odd behavior. We separated and divorced when she was 2.5 months old. I don't know what happened, but, you know, he did something that made her start crying. And, you know, and there was a bunch of other stuff that happened. And so, he's just saying a bunch of crazy things. So that's why I think that there might be some kind of substance abuse. But even, you know, intermittently over the years, when he would see her he would want to see her, but there's been
a lot of crazy
things going on.
Well, how about this? Okay. How about you tell him that you would like to have a counselor that he's been going to tell you in written form that counselor thinks it's a good idea for him to visit with his daughter. So what that says is he's got a counselor, and he's not just out of guilt or shame or whatever wanting to show up and then walk away again. It's a little bit of protection. Any other ideas like that, Jill?
Well, and I think because it's been so long, I mean, your daughter probably barely remembers him. Mm-hmm. I would think that a first contact, that you would need to be present.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And that even that
maybe
you
that's
would,
obvious,
but
that
you would meet
on the phone.
And I think you should even meet with him face to face and feel it out
get
for
a
yourself
sense of him
before he has any contact with her, phone or otherwise.
Yeah.
So and it's not that you want to block the contact. It's just that, you know, you're trying to protect her. And I think that, you know, if he is a father who cares at all, that he would understand that. And
absolutely. You're doing the responsible thing.
This may sound really unfair, Kim, given that he abandoned you for 3 years, it sounds like, but I would really encourage that. I would give him verbal praise for getting back into contact, and that it's important to you that your daughter has contact with her father, as long as you know that it's safe. Mm-hmm. So even though you're going to be bringing up these tough requirements, like Steve's idea of the letter, I think bookend it on either end with praise that he's reached back out again. Encouragement to him.
And after all this time, if he's not willing to go get counseling to where you could be secure, then that says he's not willing to do much to reestablish a relationship with his daughter. And also he needs to be appreciative of the fact that look at what you're doing to be a good mom. It's wonderful. All right. I'm glad you called. Very glad that you called.
Thanks.
All right. Let me send you Take Your Life Back. I hope that's going to be good. I hope that'll be a great blessing to you.
What about Purposeful Parenting?
Ooh,
that would
even
be a
better
good one.
Purposeful Parenting is coming your way. We'll send it to you. Absolutely helpful book. And Jill was part of that, and I am grateful she was. All right, we are out of time. I wish we had more time. Few things I want to encourage you. Support this ministry. Provide scholarships to those who go to our intensives. Life changes when people go to one of these intensives. By the way, on the 26th, I'm going to be in Hudson at the Men's Prayer Breakfast, Christ Community Chapel. That's Hudson, Ohio. I'd love to see you there on the 26th. It's just, how many days from now is that? Well, what is that? That's 2 days from now. Come join me there. I'd love to be there with you. And I'll be preaching, of course, at Northview in Carmel on Labor Day. Would love to see you then. We have so many great things to offer you. You have to call us first. You have to say, hey, let's do this. Let's get on the phone with these people. Let's see what they've got versus a radio program. And if you do, well, we'll send you some amazing things that can change your life for the people that you love. Also, our workshops, our intensives, life-changing. And if you can scholarship somebody through that, great. If you know somebody that needs it, tell them about them. I mean, our intimacy in marriage, it has brought people together. You'd think, man, surely there's no hope. And there is. There's always hope. Call us, 1-800-NEWLIFE. And get the help that you need, or get the help for somebody else that needs it. We really, really do want to help. And that's what we're here for, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Again, for this desperate time in August, we've got 5 publications and a wonderful travel mug for a gift of $50 or more, a gift of any amount, and we'll send you great teaching on Take Your Life Back. And when you become a member of Club New Life, and this would be a great time to do it, we send you this amazing Take Your Life Back day-by-day devotional along with this New Life cross to sit on your desk just to remind you of God's gift to you of grace and mercy and healing. Well, thank you, Dr. Alice Benton. Appreciate you, all you do. Dr. Jill Hubbard, thank you so much for being here. You two women are changing lives, and we're just, are you laughing
or
something?
We're giggling with each other.
Giggling.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm just doing the best I can, and they're just
we're having
giggling.
A party over here. Sorry, Steve.
Well, thank you for all you do. We'll take a break. We'll be with you tomorrow. Looking forward to being with you. God bless you and all you folks around Hudson. Looking forward to seeing you there. Have a great day. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.